One by Stereolab.
Community radio program on 89.5 FM Bush Radio, Cape Town, 88.7 FM WRHU, Hempstead Radio, Hofstra University, 88.1 FM WCWP, Brookville, LIU Post, 88.3 FM WRCT, Pittsburgh, Carnegie Mellon University, 88.3 FM WVCR, Loudonville, Siena College, 98.1 and 105.9 FM WKZE Salisbury Red Hook, and around the world at WRHU.org. This is One World Community Radio, coming up next on your favorite community radio station.
Radio program, a collaboration between 89.5 FM Bush Radio, Cape Town, South Africa, and 88.7 FM WRHU Radio, Hofstra University in Hempstead, New York. Broadcasting from the Bush Radio Salt River Studios in Cape Town is host me, Lydia Mahwanana, broadcasting from WRHU Studios in Hempstead, New York, are your hosts Cody Millar and Andy Gladding. We welcome you to join us for the next hour as we celebrate the power of community radio, music, language, and culture. The world is a big place, but using the power of radio, we're bringing it right to your door. Now, Bush Radio and WRHU welcome you to the one world of community radio.
FM WRHU Radio, Hofstra University in Hempstead, New York, 89.5 FM Bush Radio, Cape Town, South Africa, the mother of community radio, at 88.3 WRCT Radio, Carnegie Tech in Pittsburgh. You are listening to the One World Community Radio Show. I'm Ricky Hubert in New York, and we are thrilled to have a very important topic being discussed on this show today, which is the cultural heritage of Ukraine. And we are thrilled to be joined by our two guests. If our guests would like to introduce themselves, Irina, we'll start with you.
Thank you. My name is Irina Forestian. I am a fundator of nonprofit organization Fund Frog, which is major meaning of this organization is save a cultural historical heritage. Most of them it's Ukraine heritage, but we are do research with other beautiful cultural heritage other nation, and I am volunteer from 2014 for Ukraine, as we have a, as you know, we have a hard time, and I involve in any many safe cultural project.
And Dr. Ann Feuerbach, you can introduce yourself.
Yes, I'm Dr. Ann Feuerbach. I'm a professor of archaeological science. I teach over at SUNY Ness Community College full-time, and I'm an adjunct in the anthropology department at Hofstra University. I met Irina in 2014 when she invited me, well, met her a few years before, but then she invited me over to Ukraine. We were there for a conference, and unfortunately, that's when the revolution broke out. And then I returned with her on numerous occasions to help work with museum professionals and help with the research on ancient Ukraine and preserving the cultural heritage.
Now, a big topic we're going to discuss today is FROC, which is the Foundation for Research for Ancient Civilizations, and specifically the work with Ukraine. How did both of you get involved with the organization? I think, Dr. Ann, you kind of answered that a little bit. But, Irina, we'll start with you because this is a really big passion of yours. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. From 2008. And of course, my passion to history, actually, first with my nation, I'm original from Ukraine. I'm here in America for 30 years. Always interest what kind of people live in my land and this land when I live now. What culture was, how what the beliefs was. The influence our path is very strong for our life today. It's like a mirror for future, and people who deeply understand historical process like Dr. Feuerbach can predict or see the picture of our future, and they help to understand the process, the, those turbulence process what we watch now around the world. And 2008, I registered nonprofit organization, and we start do exhibit, conference, masterclass, meeting, everything what can present a very old and very rich historical and cultural heritage of Ukraine here in America, how we have connection, how it's very interesting, how different nation with a different culture has a big connection, deep connection for many, many thousand years. We was happy to organize many exhibit, many conference. There was very special exhibit 2010 in a Ukraine Institute of America, actually across the Metropolitan Museum, which I was working 13 years. There was very special event, and we have we was happy to have invitation to United Nations. This time was celebration independent of Ukraine, and we have very honoring guest, and we was happy to present Pelion, which is Bronze Age 7,000-8,000 years history. So that was very special event. From 2014, we are be a part of this historical event in Ukraine, the movement for freedom, for independence, and our war actually never stopped for almost 1,000 years with this crazy neighborhood. And our military event start 2014 during conference. Like Dr. Feuerbach mentioned, 2014, it was very nice event about arm and armory, which was very echoed to situation in Ukraine. We start involved in this process, And the more and more I understand that it's very important to know our history, because the nation who knows own history, they know how to defend themselves, they know how to see the future of themselves. And those people, those Russians, a majority of Russians, they has no big history knowledge, and they very in illusion of themselves, of they don't know who they with who fight. We know, and unfortunately the leader of this Moscow leader know very well why they fight, for what they fight. They don't fight for territory, which is also very special, because geographically Ukraine has very special territory. But the most of the reason, the special reason, it's about heritage, about our name, about our language, about our culture. Because in 17th, 18th century, the Peter the Great, there was still in the name of our country, Rus. There was Moscovian Hazana, there was no, has nothing to do with Rus. They steal the name, they steal the calendar, which is 7,000 year, not 2,000 year, steal the language. So the day we exist as Ukraine, this is the proof that Moscow lie and Moscow steal the whole country, heritage, and everything. And it's more and more important to do everything what we can to save our heritage, our people, our history. And we're very thankful to everybody who support us, who help us to stay.
Irina, something else we could discuss is you've been doing this work since 2008, and you were saying 2010, you had this big event, and the United Nations got involved, and they came. How has the work of FRAC changed post-2014, and we could even get later into it about post-2022? How has the work of your organization changed from celebrating culture to preserving culture? I know it's the same thing, but how has it changed?
We start involve more and more to event in Ukraine. We organize exhibit there, and also we organize like small risky archaeologist research. We help to create interaction a map of settlement, Tripolitan settlement and Carpathian region, which is help to find, preserve and save this settlement and object. Also, we start present situation, which is bizarre, from 2014, Crimea, Donbass, they start be occupied by those Russians. And number one, what they did, they do looting, stealing, destroying, and has no shame, even organize exhibition of artifact in Moscow and Peter. Those artifacts, what was stealing from Ukraine, they also selling stuff. And most terrible things, they destroy as much as possible historical object, settlement and monuments. If you look at a map of Ukraine, and we have a mini like interactive map, the whole territory of Ukraine, and you see geo points, it's going to be like total, the whole territory of Ukraine, because it's very old nation, very old land. We know, we remember, we have archaeologists' artifact for 20 and 40,000 year, one layer by layer. Actually, it's a gold point for international archaeologist, which is all the time visit Ukraine, work in Ukraine, and you can see the whole this spot in Ukraine territory. We have more than 30,000 important site in Ukraine cultural heritage, but object, it's like right now under occupation, more than 3 million cultural objects. It's a 10% of all culture institutions. They destroy more than 2,500 heritage objects and totally destroyed more than 500. So this is museum, this is collection, this is historical building, this is library, this is theater, this is cultural institution, it's monuments, you know, the territory, Crimea, Donetsk, Donbass, it's a very old Scythian order culture site. And we have Kurgan, which is very rich with a historical act. And this is why they hunting for wherever they can take it, they destroy it. Wherever they can, they destroy it. This we as a fund, we involve, organize conference, unite with volunteers who work in this territory. We give presentation to European country, also here in America, ask for help. Lots of international archaeologists, scientists was come to Ukraine and help to save, do digital images. It's very special that civilian Ukraine, very conscious people, difficult situation, we start be united and we understand what have to be safe. Most of safe cultural organization was volunteer organized by some cultural institution and very special individuals. Like example, Igor Pashevailo, which is very special. He's the director of a museum. And he worked in years and years to save cultural heritage in Ukraine. He worked with many international organization. He organized headquarter of safe cultural protection, like special unit, a commander of this unit. And we have a few organization like this. They heritage rescue headquarters. Again, this is volunteers. This is people who do by themselves. It's not like government or army order. They do monitor and they collect information. They have lots of training from very special European famous organization, also NATO style army to preserve cultural heritage. They work because the key topic there was risk management and response to cultural hazard, as well as complaints with a provision of the 1954 Gagua Convention for Protection Cultural Property in the event of armed conflict. So Ukraine signed this convention and we work. We are civilized European state. Army soldier doing the military work find many artifact and many of them return to museums safe. Lots of civilian was saving after bombing museum. They was saving collection and after give to safe territory. So they have many, this organization, Suho, that was create 500 website and create megabytes of digital dates to share and save artifact. They work international institution, like example, Virginia, the Cultural Heritage Monitoring Lab. They create agency for cultural sustainability. So the people understand important things. And as a fund, I was many times in Ukraine during this time. We worked humanitarian volunteers. We evacuate people, kids to European country and bring humanitarian aids from there. I've been working for 2 years British. We organize exhibit, concert, events to show our heritage, connection to that European country, and also show how devastated, how they're destroying our heritage. We show video, we show photo, we have speaker, we give understanding and information what's going on in Ukraine. Also, in 2015, with the help of Dr. Anne Feuerbach, we create conference in Hofstra University. So that helped us to share our situation. And also, we help with equipment. We provide with two very special microscopes, which help to continue do research, Trapelian artifact, arm and armor artifact. We have very good connection with the center, Denis Stoichkin University in Kiev, Grinchenko University, with many very famous professor, Videko, and some other in a different state of Ukraine. We have joint research with these people. Also, we understand that without information, international community can help. We provide more than 20 books in English and with colorful illustration was given to Congress Library in Washington, D.C., also to different museum, Politan Museum, some other museum and university in America, United, and also Britannia. So we do our best to provide information. We're very thankful for international scientists and also soldiers. We have 1,000 international soldiers who help defend our land, our country, our people. We organize award medal called Brother for Brother with the image of Kitian who fight, help each other to fight. Hundreds and hundreds heroes was awarded with this medal with a big, big, many different events was created. Also, 2018 was in United Nations special event, first time Ukraine language, Ukraine culture, and we help organize exhibit. Most of them was books, and many books was given to Library of United Nations. Again, very important to share information. Together we can understand how important, not only in Ukraine difficult situation today, many nation has a devastation. We find many friends. Like example from Kenya, we worked this year with a very good people and we share. And there was event in the United Nations also with involved Ukraine cultural. Again, it's more and more important, became important to know what kind of heritage, history you have in your nation. And that way, we can understand other, and that way we can build different relationship between nation, not between, I actually have no word, you know, to say crazy leader. No, there is no crazy. It's aggressor. It's those just have destroyed everything. So nation themselves have to be more conscious.
Well, Irina, you covered a lot there. You certainly gave us a lot to work with. And just as a reminder to people, They are currently listening to the One Word Community Radio Show, and we thank them very much for doing that. Now, we're going to transition to Dr. Ann. How have you, because you do a lot of the educational side of the program with IRENA, with the museums, and we could talk about the exhibits later on. How have you seen the shift change from 2014 beyond, and especially after everything that's happened since 2022?
Well, really, one of the interesting things was, I mean, I've been studying archaeology for, well, basically my whole life, but professionally for 30 years. And so much of the material in Ukraine, I was never exposed to. And that's really, in many ways, very surprising. Because, say, before I went in 2014, so that was the first time that I was really exposed to it. And IRENA brought me everywhere to all the different museums. And the thing is that you hear about stuff like early languages, but you don't realize that Ukraine and, going way back, Sanskrit language is related. And their archaeology there from the people of Ukraine have been there for 30,000 years, says the DNA research. We were working on things like some things I didn't know about. Even so, you hear about Scythians when you study the Greeks, but you never are taught that the Scythians were from Ukraine. We also learn about, say, Vikings and the Rus, but and trade in things like, say, swords and silks. But now I just recently wrote a paper that it was showing the DNA went from Ireland to Ukraine, then all the way to Kyrgyzstan, and it follows the traders. So it is not just an important aspect for Ukrainian history, but it's so important for understanding the transmission of knowledge, the DNA, because then we're starting to be able to trace the spread of diseases. And if you don't know the accurate archaeology and you're only thinking about nationalism and fake nationalism, manufactured, but the inaccuracies, it's going to also make numerous effects of understanding things like, yeah, DNA with movements of people, movements of diseases, trade goods. But to come to now what's been happening since the war and all, one, it's been positive in the way of now people know where Ukraine is. When we started the research in 2014, and I would say to people, I'm going to Ukraine for archaeology, they would be like, one, where is Ukraine? And two, Ukraine has archaeology? And I'll tell you, having been to so many archaeological sites in countries all over the world, Ukraine is probably the richest one, but more so than Egypt, more so than places like Jordan and the Near East. They've been studied more, but Ukraine has, I would say, much better remains. Well, did have so much going from, said, 30,000 years ago up into today, and the contacts between north, south, east, and west. But now we're having, because of such the wealth, there's a lot of looting. It's looting for numerous reasons. I mean, sometimes archaeological sites are found by mistake. Ukrainian soldiers will be digging trenches and come across a site. They will record it. They will make a note of it, tell people. But on the other side, you get people, say, looting the sites because there's so much gold and they melt it down. They've been found at different airports around Europe, so that you know that they've been with the smuggling and people buying the objects. But also, it's with the Russians deliberately trying to destroy the archaeological evidence, because, as IRENA said, the story that the Russians are proposing is not accurate. We know this goes back to Soviet times. During Soviet times, when all of the archaeology had to fit or the you could do good archaeology. The archaeologists were good, but when they had very good archaeologists, but when they had to write up their reports, it had to fit the Marxist philosophy. They all knew that that part was garbage because they all grew up with it. But and they said so they wouldn't read that part, but they would just stick to the facts. But there's still this whole idea of using archaeology for propaganda is now very much so. And now we have problems too. Like if you can go online, go to the Hermitage Museum online, and you will see how when objects are found in Ukraine, they don't say it was found in Ukraine. They say that it was found in the Russian Federation. But if it was found in Turkmenistan or someplace they don't want, and it was found at the same time or roughly during the same, you know, Soviet period, they will say it was found in the area of Turkmenistan because they're not interested in getting land in Turkmenistan. So again, the archaeology is not, and history is not just political, of course, it's very political, but it's also very practical as understanding the movements of people, health, disease, knowledge. And this is what we're working to preserve and make people aware of the accuracy and testable scientific information and not just propaganda.
What I find quite interesting about with the work that you're all doing is that I feel like awareness is such a big thing about, like, because my radar was obviously very much brought into Ukraine once everything happened in 2022. But obviously, as different things in the world go on, certain coverage around the world of Ukraine goes down. How do you use the art and the exhibits and the museums and the work that you're all doing to keep awareness that we are here, we are still under attack, and we're not going to give up on our heritage and our people? How do you use the work to kind of keep that awareness up?
The most important thing is documentary. As a scientist, Dr. Anna Fairbach say, to prove, to have a conversation with a scientist society, you have to have a fact. So number one is documentary. So this why is very important work of this organization, volunteers who risk their life today. Not only soldiers, the civilian, the journalist, the military correspondent, they do documentary, video, photography, all kind of things. They use satellite. From 2014, agency from Virginia help Ukraine monitoring from satellite how they destroy some monuments and building and museum. It's not just one time fixing. You see dynamic. This happened even like they come, they destroy, they build new Moscow monument, Moscow culture. You fix this because now they do own documentary, say, look, this is Russian territory, this is Russian culture, this is Russian language. They destroyed books in Ukraine library. They bring right away. This is not happen suddenly. The all this event was clearly and long time ago prepared. The first come soldier, after come teacher and religion worker. That's it. With a book for children in the school, even kindergarten, they has already thousand and thousand book, completely different history of this territory. Because they don't mention Ukraine name. They mention Russian territory, Russian monuments, Russian rider and or cultural event. Everything is changed. So when you do this work as a monitoring, day by day, year by year, it's completely different. Every world knew, watch with a crying how 600 people, half of them was children in Mariupol, was trying to save in a theater and a museum underground, what they did? They bombing. They knew. They bombing, they destroyed, they kill everybody. And you know what's going on now, today? They rebuild and put the name Russian Theater, Russian Museum. They do concert there. Can you imagine? In the cemetery, this is the ground, this is cemetery. They do concert, they do events, I can't even send there's just people. There is no people. This is some type of, I don't know, being. And this what happened. So those group, those institution who does monitoring, who does documentary, it's very, very important. And lots of Ukraine culture leaders come to America, come to Europe, come to other country, does lecture, does conference, and involve other specialists to help. You can help not to come to danger territory. They help with equipment, they help with the knowledge, they help with organize events. So they continue to do this. Unfortunately, my brother, Ruslan Hanushak, he was a filmmaker. We create many events in our frog. He bring a collection. He made photo collection, Trepillian artifacts. He bring to New York, and those big events 2010 was his big help. He helped to publish the book about Trepillian culture, and now his collection is a big part of actually only one museum of Trepillia in America near to New York. Welcome. He was a filmmaker, a photographer, a TV operator, and he from Maidan, which is 2013, he was part of all the time war from 2014, and of course in 2022 he went back to the front. He was military correspondent, and he has many video picture. He was with a national TV station and fixed all these destroying things, killing, and this is material. And also they help preserve the, you know, Ukraine is a paradox country. You know, we have very conscious people who give life, who give everything, knowledge, time, everything to save people and country. And other people just live ordinary life, very, you know, low interest to everything. Unfortunately, we have to do work with our own people, explain, showing what's going on and how, why it's so important. Because Russian propaganda work very well everywhere and still work in Ukraine. So we have not only one front. We have, I don't know, four sides of front everywhere inside the country. So we have cultural front, we have religion frontier, we have historical frontiers, we have educational frontiers. Now we fight with Russian language inside the Ukraine. This is, it can't be. You can, how is possible in World II if, I don't know, after in some European country like French, Italy or something, they start talk German. What kind of reaction is going to be? But because of those years and years Russian propaganda inside the Ukraine, we still have Russian speaker in Ukraine, and they push us to change the law. They put Russian language in educational system and TV and all other things. So again and again, documentary fixing the truth is became more and more important things. So any form on event to present, to provide right information is very important. Like example, Australian archaeologists now working in Ukraine and help us to save it's amazing people. During this terrible time, I meet so many special people. I make so many nice friends. We became like a family. You know, it's very special things. Like, say, light, people with light inside, you can see them very well in a dark time. So that kind of situation. Again and again, I'm very grateful. I thank you, many of our friends who help us in this dark time.
Kusi, you could tell them about, because we were talking about the importance of preserving culture, you could talk about Cultural Heritage Month in South Africa, because I feel like that could tie to what Irina's been saying. What is Heritage Month?
Quickly to share South African heritage, we have like a diversity of cultures because, for example, we have 12 official languages. All of these languages have different cultures, even though 12 official which are recognized, but there's also other cultures from other African countries. For example, our neighbors, Zimbabwe, Mozambique, Malawi, Nigeria, etc. But yeah, when it comes to African culture or in South Africa, it's more preserved and respected. And also, as in, we respect each other's cultures. For example, now we go into festive season. There's a high number of young people who are going to initiation schools because of normal schools will be closed. Then they will be having a chance to go to initiate schools where they can spend like a month, sometimes 2 or 3 months in there learning about their culture and also who you are as a person, especially men. You learn about what is being man in African perspective. So, yeah. That's African culture or South African culture.
Wow. It's very, very important, very interesting. Again, it's very, I'm sorry, I'm glad to hear it's another proof that people return to our heritage, to our tradition, not as like specifically, oh, we come back to the cave, we come back to the rock age. No, to take most important roots, knowledge, who you are, and go and communicate with the conscious, with, as you say, respect to others, you can respect others only if you respect yourself, but without knowledge who you are, you can't respect yourself. And as you say about those school, we have something similar to teach tradition. Like I say, we have constant war. The conscious part of nation understand it's gonna be fight. We know that gonna be big war, and 2014, most of the people know that going to be a big fight. So we prepare young people, actually kids. There was kids, 2014, there was kids like a camp. They preparing, learn tradition, learn history, learn martial art. We have a very old traditional martial art, similar like Aikido, some Tibetan monk of martial art. And yes, this is how you prepare yourself, and you can defend yourself and you can defend your family. Otherwise, you're helpless, and this is very sad.
Irina, before Kusi came on, we were talking about the light in the world, despite all the darkness. Talk about how you've seen that over the last however many years you've been doing this program, 15, 16, but especially in the last 3 years with this war in Ukraine, as you've taken your exhibits around, the art, everything. How have you seen that light?
Oh, I see. I see, how to say, contrast. You know, like a gray is a gray. You can't really see who that person is. Oh, everything is okay. Very good situation. And everybody smile, everybody nice. But when situation change, you can see who really your friend. Number one, you can see who you are. This is test for yourself as well. How you gonna act? How you gonna respond to this situation? And I see more and more the real people, most of them, my friend, my family, I know them as a light person. They show this, they perform this light and this light action, conscious action. And it's about more contrast, light and dark. Most of spiritual master, and not just we know religion movement, even scientists who has a base of knowledge, physical, material world, they understand process. They have to be shift. They have to be transformation, because life is dynamic. Our planet has own life. And like few days ago, we have fixed that frequency of planet almost double. What that means for us, for all world, human, plants, animals, everything involved. You know, we have mammon area. What happened to the mammon? One event and everything is changed. So we understand can that process can be repeat, and more light come, and high frequency come, and more light people gonna increase their conscious, increase this light, and help other to see where we have to go, what is important.
But I want to know, though, we've seen that the world is becoming a global world planet. Doctor, this is also for you. When it comes to culture shift, we've seen it with Europe, where immigrants coming from Middle East, going there, practicing their culture. When it comes to religion, in other parts, enforcing it. How do you guys see, especially in your point of view, when it comes to shift of culture? Is it other cultures dominating more, or do you guys feel like now we as human beings, we're starting to understand all these cultures that were dividing us? Finally, now we're acknowledging all of them.
I think some of a part of this global process, and I be part of this. I live there from 2021. I'm in Ukraine, so I there. I'm in the middle, and I see, like you say, different culture come to Europe, they change face of Europe, they change culture of, it's a very painful process. Quantity try to change quality, but question quality, it's also questionable. What nation or religion or culture bearer, Asian, Arabian, or some other, or French of Ukraine, it's questionable. But we talk about basic principle human being, about conscious. I understand planet, war, or whatever, God existing, push us to choose, push us to change. Because the way house work, we see it doesn't work. Knowing history, they're all imperial. It's 500 years, 300 years, bam, is change. It doesn't exist because it doesn't work. So we see this process in Ukraine. They push Ukraine. We have officially 10 million Ukraine push out of the country. Kids, this is the future of Ukraine. And when they do, during the war, the government signed the law, invite immigrants from East, from other country, to the country. They build a city, they give them benefit. So it's a controversial things, and it's very, very go against our tradition, our understanding, our religion, our spirituality. As much as I study religion, history, as much I understand, basic all religion is much different than present now. Christianity based on the different things. It's Muslim, it's when they talk about if you're not in a Muslim house, some other religion as well say, if you're not us, you Goya, you out. But basic of even we talk about Muslim, there was Sufi. The Sufi, it's a beautiful, beautiful, rare flower. It's about life. It's about love. It's about land. It's if you study what the meaning, basic meaning of Sufi, it's amazing things. They transform, they create business, they create control machine. So it's a mate, it's not real. And I understand wherever they mate, it's going to be destroyed. And we come back to the basic understanding, like your culture in Africa. It's not about to kill each other. It was made later on. So when we come back to the real tradition, to the real knowing ourselves, that's going to be completely different life and completely different relationship between nations. There was idea UN about beautiful friendship between different people. But what we have? I'm sorry. We have completely, I'm sorry. I don't want to use bad words, but it's a sad story. So I believe when those movement, individual and nation, which is, I see, come back to the roots, to understanding who you are. And like you know, the teaching, master teaching, spiritual master teaching, the number one, to know who you are. And if you answer this question, which is say, it's only real question in the world, who I am. That's it. That's gonna be change everything. That's gonna be transform everything. Because if you are being of light and love, what you gonna do? What you gonna create? You gonna create life. You gonna create beautiful things, a beautiful life. And the basic of relationship between people gonna be completely different. We don't have to destroy planet to live. We have enough source to feed all people in the planet. This is bad, very sad idea, illusion they try to give through the media. Oh, we underpopulation, we have to kill half humanity to survive. This is illusion. We have everything to have a good life, and planet show us that gonna be change, and we have to be prepared. And people who understand, they do everything for this.
I could add just a couple of other things there. Basically, as an archaeological scientist and have studied everything from before we were modern humans to today and looking for innovation, basically one of the issues is that, well, we know with cultures that cultures are always dynamic and changing. And really the big difference between the past and today is the size of the population. And you cannot you cannot run systems, both religion, economics, housing, anything like that, when you have a small population compared to a large population, even just feeding them. That's why when it was more smaller populations and you have tribal cultures, it's all about giving, and it's about equality. When we start to have, like today, this idea of one God, one religion, one monetary system, one idea, this idea of one goes very much is state societies, and it goes very against what was originally tribal, which was all about people and everybody. Now we're very much this me culture. And the difference is really between the past and now, it's your variation of different values. You know, we think that values are the same everywhere, but it isn't. When you study, say, like, not everybody wants to spend money going to the moon. Lots of cultures don't. Lots of cultures do rather have profit for the planet and nature, not for their wallets. Things like that. And this is how we have to really take from these different ways of the past, where people have been solving the same problems we have today for millennia, taking these different ideas and using them, learning from other cultures, rather than trying to keep reinventing the wheel to drag it through the mud. No, there's other ways of doing things. And I think that's really what we have to take from the futures. Learn from the past. The past is a database of human innovation, and take that and use the information. We could see how things benefited society, how other establishments were detrimental to society. So we have this. Hindsight is 20/20. That's why the past is not a black box that people think it is. We can, using science, know what's happening and see the effects and apply this now to our global society that we're having today. And instead of trying to make it all one boring, homogenous world, imagine just one food, just take all these different religions and ideas and enjoy them all and celebrate it with our own identities.
Don't you feel like if cultures are not evolving, it slows down civilization for human beings?
Oh, you don't have a choice about it. Culture is dynamic. It is always changing, and it is building on earlier developments. You can't stop it. Nobody ever wants to. The idea is, though, that we can use our knowledge of the past to direct how we want new developments to go, because we've seen it in the past. So we know we can predict what's going to happen for a fair amount. It's like COVID. You know, archaeologists know that something like COVID was going to happen at some time, because pandemics happen every 100 years on average. So if you know these things, you can prepare.
Yes, this is about importance of knowledge. Lack of knowledge change vector of your conscious and your life and your creation. But this vector up, because we all are part of the one. We all light being. But if you go to deep knowledge of this process, you see the most important part, the stage, is this, the roots is the same. You can see line in our culture and tradition. We used to do the same as we did 7,000-8,000 years in Tripilia and the Bronze Age. And we use the same symbol, the same respect to the land, respect to the people, knowledge of the big planet, knowledge of the unity of cosmos. So, yeah, they change. Of course they change. We change. But if you remind yourself, you can see the meaning, the real meaning this person will the same. If this person was nice, a light person, they're going to be a nice person.
We have to end it here, but Irina, we thank you so much for coming on. We thank you and Dr. Ann for all the work that you are doing and being light and love in the world right now. So thank you for that.
Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you, Irina. It was nice chatting with you.
Yeah. Thank you.
And if people want to find out more about Frock, where can they go to?
We have a Facebook line, but we're preparing a website. It's a Font Frog in the Facebook, and we have lots of video in the YouTube.
All right. Sounds very good to me. Thank you, Irina. Thank you, Kusi.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you. You've been listening to the One World Community Radio Show on 88.7 FM, WRHU, 89.5 FM, Bush Radio, Cape Town, South Africa, and 88.3 WRCT, Radio Carnegie Tech in Pittsburgh. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to One World Radio, a collaboration between 89.5 FM Bush Radio, Cape Town, South Africa, and 88.7 FM WRHU, Radio Hofstra University, Hempstead, New York. We thank you for joining us and look forward to seeing you next week as we celebrate the power of radio in our one world. Tot ziens julle.
I'm Dr. Michael Norwood, your health tip of the day from the African American Wellness Project. Asthma affects 25 million people nationwide, and every day 10 people die with it, with African American women and children being most at risk. Early warning signs include coughing, especially at night, or with exercise and wheezing. Almost all asthma can be effectively managed with a good action plan. So talk with your doctor today, and for more information, visit aawellnessproject.org.
Stay tuned for the One World Community Radio Program on 89.5 FM Bush Radio, Cape Town, 88.7 FM WRHU, Hempstead Radio, Hofstra University, 88.1 FM WCWP, Brookville, LIU Post, 88.3 FM WRCT, Pittsburgh, Carnegie Mellon University, 88.3 FM WVCR, Loudonville, Siena College, 98.1 and 105.9 FM WKZE Salisbury Red Hook, and around the world at WRHU.org. This is One World Community Radio, coming up next on your favorite community radio station.
Radio program, a collaboration between 89.5 FM Bush Radio, Cape Town, South Africa, and 88.7 FM WRHU Radio, Hofstra University in Hempstead, New York. Broadcasting from the Bush Radio Salt River Studios in Cape Town is host me, Lydia Makhwanana. Broadcasting from WRHU Studios in Hempstead, New York, are your hosts.